Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Before we start the show, as usual, I'd like to look at a little letter we got given.
I gave him the letter.
Consistent on giving me the letter.
I thought the sound sounded nice. It was like ASMR.
The paper's not as crinkled as that sounded.
It's really not.
I really over-crinkled the letter, didn't I? Sorry,
this is an actual letter and an actual piece of paper because we did a live show and someone gave this to us.
That's so lovely.
That's really nice. To Corey, James...
That's like a physical email.
Yeah. Yes, James. It's almost like a letter, an email is a digital letter.
Electronic mail.
We live in a world.
Science. To Corey, James and Luke, I just want to say thank you so much for giving me an opportunity to see you all record live and the chance to meet you.
Thanks for coming.
Your podcast has helped me so much recently. I listen to you guys every Monday at 6 a.m. whilst at work, and it's become my favorite part of the day, even week. You've given me a reason to get up and go to work, so thank you so much.
Woo! Do they not realize that he can listen to the podcast in bed, so he doesn't have to get up?
Got to go to work, though.
Oh.
Yeah.
But if it comes out when he's at work.
Yeah. Well, that's still down to you, isn't it, in your scheduling?
He must be at work quite early.
Yeah, because this is the guy.
We met this guy.
Yeah.
And he starts work at the same time that James starts work.
Oh, I had a conversation with
him. You get up at 4 a.m.
Yeah, we get up at the same time, 4.
James lives a weird life.
Yeah.
Please keep being amazing and fucking hilarious. Do we swear? Yeah, we do.
We kind of do.
No, we don't, because I looked at the iTunes page and we are categorized as non-swearing. So we have sworn. I hope that iTunes aren't listening.
Should I just start bleeping us out?
Yeah, maybe.
Or I could just mark us as explicit.
We could just not swear.
It's just not swearing. Please keep being amazing and fudging hilarious.
Woo!
You do it so well. From Aiden Laws, a very grateful fan. And then that's it. That's...
That's not
how you finish a letter, Corey. From Aiden Laws.
That's it.
That's it.
I thought there was more, but it was just his usernames.
Okay. So. Start the show, Corey.
Hello and welcome to Sci Guys, the show where we talk about the crazy, weird, and wonderful stories from the science world. I'm Corey, and as always, I'm joined by my co-hosts, Jamp and Luke Kupfer.
Hello.
Hello.
Today. Why do you not have a last name in the intro? You're Jamp. Just Jamp. You're a sound.
Why do you have two names, you
I
name?
I don't have a last name. Either. You're the,
yeah,
only
you're
one
the, you're the outlier
one
here.
Sweet. All right,
that's
cool.
Because no one knows who you are unless you add your name.
Sorry, Corey. Carry on.
Today we'll be covering vegan leather and a fun guy.
Ooh.
Vegan leather.
Yeah.
Wait, does this mean that they're using fungi to grow a vegan leather alternative?
Maybe.
Did I do it again?
Yeah, please.
I ruined it again. Woo! My one skill.
Is this about a hat?
What?
No.
I know.
I just told you what it's about.
No, but I know some guy that made a hat out of mushrooms. I thought
yes, Paul Stamets.
Paul Stamets
made a hat out of a certain type of mushroom.
Yeah.
I'm not talking
so
about
it could
this
be
guy.
It could be a fake leather hat. It could be a
it's not that at all. No.
Well, cool. That's
way off the mark.
Should we let Corey do his job?
No.
Why don't I tell you what it's actually about?
Yeah, go on.
But I'm not going to tell you what it's about. I'm going to start off by talking about plastic packaging.
Of course you are.
Because of course I am. Plastic packaging is destroying our planet and we desperately need a solution to the problem, or we'll all very soon be wiped off the face of the planet by climate change. And SCOBY might be that solution.
I don't really agree with what you just said. Plastic packaging is destroying the oceans. It's not causing global warming, which is what will kill us.
Yes.
They're different things.
We will still be wiped off the face of the planet by climate change, and the production of plastic. The production of plastic is horribly terrible for the environment.
Yeah, but it's not
all made from oil.
I know that it all kind of comes from the same place, and it all also has detrimental things on the environment. But the reason why we're going to die in climate change is because of CO2 and the greenhouse gas effect, not because of plastic. Just saying, I take issue with your intro.
We're not even two minutes into the podcast. We've got a correction.
I do think that if the levels of life in the sea go down, then we also will have some other knock-on effect on the climate. We will have other problems. So you are probably right eventually, but not for the reason you thought. Carry on.
Back to plastic packaging. You guys know how that works.
Plastic packaging?
Yeah, just packaging in general.
Hydrocarbons.
Okay, I should be specific. How does packaging work to stop fruit from going off?
Because they pump it full of nitrogen, so there's no air, and then oxidization cannot happen.
That's exactly it, essentially.
Sweet!
Essentially, if you want to package something, you just want to...
Have you learned this before?
No, I just did chemistry. Level. Okay.
You just got to get rid of the air. Yeah, the air is basically what makes it go off. Generally, we use plastic, which is terrible. And in 2016, 169 kilograms of packaging waste was generated per inhabitant in the EU.
169 Lovely. Kilograms per inhabitant.
Yeah, in a year.
Of plastic. Jeez. What? That's per, like half a kilogram a day.
Per person.
That's like two people's weight worth.
Okay, that's weird because I don't use an awful lot of plastic. I mean, sure, I use some. Everyone uses some.
But you don't realize how much. You say that, but you don't realize how much you use.
Maybe.
If you think about it.
I do the recycling in my house. I know how much I use.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, but the average person who doesn't really care about it.
I suppose as well, like, I might buy something that was shipped in plastic, and that would count as me using plastic, even if the shipment plastic was disregarded by the supermarket before.
Exactly, and you can use a lot of plastic in one go and not even think about it. And 40% of the plastic produced is packaging used just once and then discarded.
Fun fact, though, today, the government have announced, or some member of the government, I think it might be Michael Gove, has just given his go-ahead for the proposal that we have a plastic deposit scheme, which is like massive in Europe, and also in America they have a bottle deposit scheme, where basically every plastic bottle you buy, there'll be a surcharge on it of like 5p, and then if you give it back,
you get the 5p,
which is lovely, because also it means that people who are struggling for work or like are homeless, I know that's not an ideal way to live or make your living, but you can collect bottles and clean up your, and that is something to do.
I've seen videos like this on Twitter of people putting the plastic bottles back in the machine. It's like, it looks like a reverse vending machine.
They're
putting
the bottles in. Vending
machine. Is that what it's called?
Yeah. Have you guys heard of the guy in Germany that's just been fined a lot of money for
like faking plastic?
Essentially he worked out a way to trick the machine into thinking that he was putting lots and lots of bottles in.
Stop.
Because I think this one, he stopped it from being shredded, so it just registered it going in. And then he used the same bottle over and over.
Like,
and made
Top Cat.
Yeah.
Top Cat. In the Top Cat intro, there's a thing where he has a coin on a string.
Yeah.
And he puts it in the vending machine and pulls it back out. And then he gets his free food. I always used to think that would be such a good thing to do, but I never tried it.
So hard to tie a string around a coin. I once tried
a string around a bee, but we'll not go there today.
Oh, yeah, we killed
then
it.
Killed it.
No, the first one lived. The second one.
We got. Sorry, you put a bee in the freezer and it passed away.
Killed the bee. So 18 billion pounds of plastic waste goes into the oceans every year from coastal regions, which is obscene. This is just stats about plastic. It's really bad and really awful and depressing. I had to take a break after researching this. And another one, nearly half all the plastic that's ever been made was made after the year 2000.
Wow. Exponential
right?
increase.
And, okay, so they started plastic production, I think, around about the 50s.
Hmm.
So in the past, say, 20 years...
That's actually less than I would have expected. I would have expected it to be like half of all the plastic we've ever used was in the last like half a year or something. Just awful.
But
like,
to be fair, from that we've been trying to reduce since like the noughties.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. Less than a fifth of all that plastic is recycled.
Less than a fifth.
Which is part of the reason.
Is this in the EU? Just in the EU?
No, this is global. Yeah. So this is part of the reason that we have the Great Pacific Garbage Patch.
Oh,
do you guys know about that? Have you heard it?
I've seen videos of it. I don't know where it is, though.
Is it like an island made out of garbage?
Oh, it's... Wow. It's an island. It's a big island.
And then things live on it.
I don't think anything necessarily lives...
Oh, this must be something different.
What are you thinking of?
There's this beach... There's this country. I don't know where it is, but the shores are basically just like littered with... You can't see the sand. It's just...
You're definitely thinking of something different. I'm thinking this is a floating... basically, the Great Pacific Garbage Patch is the biggest accumulation of plastic... in the world.
Wow. If you're listening to this, go and Google that, because it is just like horrible to look at.
It's awful to look at. I've got some stuff. Yeah, it's ridiculous. I've got some stuff here on it. because they did some research on it recently, which is really horrifying.
I've not seen those pictures before.
Yeah, it's between Hawaii and California in the Pacific Ocean, and it covers an estimated surface area of about 1.6 million square kilometers.
Do you have a comparison of that to a country?
No, I do. It's okay. Twice the size of Texas or three times the size of France.
What? Hang on. Texas is bigger than France.
You could fit most of mainland Europe inside of Texas.
Wow. Yeah.
Texas is big.
Wait, so this patch of rubbish is twice the size of most of mainland Europe?
Yeah.
Yeah. And Eastern Europe, Western Europe, yeah.
Not good.
Ugh.
And that means that it's bigger than any state in America.
Wow.
If they wanted, right, so put it this way, if they wanted to make the garbage patch a state, which is, I think it's about the same, it's about as close as Hawaii is, to, or closer than Hawaii to the US, it would be the biggest state and people could, like, conceivably, you could fit basically everyone in America onto this.
Should we invade it and declare ourselves president of the garbage patch?
You wouldn't necessarily want to do that because it stinks.
I'd be president of something. It's better than being president of nothing.
Yeah,
president of the garbage patch.
Yeah, president of garbage. What are you, president of nothing?
President of this clean room.
He's the president of the podcast, isn't he?
Yeah.
It's actually really interesting how they figured this out because... How would you go about? How would you go about measuring something that's the size or bigger than Texas?
Well, a satellite picture.
Yeah, but it's moving as well.
Satellite picture that's not moving. What do you mean?
It's not a satellite.
You'd have to estimate it. But
I'd get the app on the iPhone measure. Where you can like use AR, you
just get a lot of iPhones strapped onto a satellite. Yeah.
You use AR kit and you point it at the first point, and then you move along. Second point, click it, and then it tells you the size.
And you can start arranging. Well, that's close. IKEA
checkmate,
furniture.
Corey.
Instead of using an iPhone, these guys use 13
plays.
Put like an IKEA sofa.
You can play Pokemon Go on the giant garbage patch. Yeah. Wow, I caught Pikachu at the garbage.
Instead of doing that, they used 30 boats, 652 surface nets, and 2 flights over the patch.
Well, you know what's really ironic about that? All those boats probably generated loads of CO2, and if they'd just gone up in their little satellite and taken a picture, they would have wasted less CO2, and we wouldn't be living in this horrible global warming world
now. That's so true, because it doesn't take any CO2 to get a satellite into space.
Not if it's already there. Exactly.
Terrible logic.
All our satellites were too busy spying on the Chinese.
We can't help it if someone else sent one up there.
To be fair, I'm sure there's a couple spying on the Russians.
Spying on the Russians?
Yeah.
What, like a man and a woman, or a man and a man, or a woman and a woman? Don't be sexist.
Or, you know, non-binary people, Luke.
Sorry, I tried so hard!
I don't know where we are. What? How did we get here? So, roughly how many pieces of plastic do you think are in the garbage patch?
12 billion.
Billion? You're going billion?
Yeah.
I was going to go hundreds of millions, but maybe that's not enough.
Oh, wow.
Of billions?
You guys are both off. It's...
Really?
1.8 trillion pieces.
What? What?
Yeah.
I was too optimistic by saying really hundreds of millions.
Yeah. But it's there's lots of, like, microplastics as well, which are
like
really the issue.
Like microporous beads.
So it weighs about 80,000 tons.
Wow.
Which, if you want to know... That's
I
about
could bench that, I reckon. You reckon you could bench that?
It's the weight of 500 jumbo jets, Luke. I don't think you can quite bench.
I could bench the weight of 500 jumbo jets. Corey, what are you on about?
I've seen your arms. They are scrawny.
So is plastic.
Not 500 jumbo jets of plastic.
Wait, what if you... I know. Solution. We get all that plastic and we pump it full of helium and then it just floats away.
How much of that plastic is helium
balloons? Into sky.
You know, there is a reason we can't just litter in space. I think we've mentioned it before. If you chuck anything into orbit, it's going to start traveling so fast.
Oh, it's a projectile, yeah.
Yeah, it will just destroy anyone that tries to go up there.
Don't go up there, then. Simple.
Just stay on Earth and sometimes die like everyone else.
Sometimes I find myself stumbling into space, hit by projectiles.
Hit by a projectile.
So that's not even including the outer region. So when I say it's 80,000 tons, that's only... The bit that they measured in the middle.
The main island.
Yeah, there's these...
Like the black hole.
Yes.
The event horizon.
Yeah, essentially. So there's this...
Then there's the Hawking radiation all around the edge.
Well, there's a less dense sort of ring around the outside. And if you include that, it goes up to about 100,000 tons.
Oh, that's not too much more.
That's the Kuiper
belt. It's still 100,000 tons. Yeah, so they've been measuring the plastic in the patch since the 1970s. And it's still getting bigger. So it does lose plastic, but it takes in more than it's losing.
Can you give me a Well, but I mean, it doesn't really matter if it loses plastic because that plastic's still in the ocean, which is kind of like not where it should be.
It's just floated somewhere else.
Oh, wow, the patch is smaller, but solution. The rest of the ocean's screwed. So is there a reason why we, like, in all seriousness, why we can't measure this from space?
I'm not really sure the reason that we can't measure it from space.
Because it should
probably
show up as a country.
Yeah, it's probably just difficult to image it accurately. Probably.
Maybe it's also quite a lot of see-through plastic. Yeah. So it just looks like ocean.
It's probably difficult to see it. Interesting. From a satellite picture. Presumably.
Have they tried?
Probably. Yeah. Almost certainly.
Damn, we didn't think of that.
Guys, I've been listening to SciGuy's pod, and I've got an idea.
The NASA intern just like...
They've already measured it, so that'd be ultimately useless.
Corey, in five years, guys, I've got a letter from somebody. Hello, I work for the US military, and we started imaging the giant blob of plastic in the sea.
Yes, the military want to turn it into a base. That's why they're the ones that are doing it.
The military want to turn everything into a base, Corey.
So what do you think is the main cause of the garbage patch? What plastic. Kind of plastic? What? Yes.
Plastic.
I would say bottles of water.
Oh, it's definitely plastic. Definitely plastic straws, isn't it?
It's actually not plastic
microbeads?
Straws.
Is it the tiny little micro things that you have in skin?
No,
mold.
It's not those.
None of it's fishing nets, right?
Yeah, it's fishing nets. It's 40% fishing nets. 46%
what?
Fishing nets.
Yeah.
Right. Well, we don't have anything to be guilty about then. We're vegan. Yeah. Sweet.
Yeah. It's people don't. Basically, if you don't want to destroy the oceans, stop fishing.
Yeah.
Stop it's very simple.
That's what I always say. I mean, the ocean is just fish and water, and we're not taking the water out. We're taking the fish out
and leaving plastic in its place.
Plastic fish, though.
That will solve all of our problems.
Yeah.
Except it won't, because the plastic gets shredded and turns into microplastic, which gets into the fish and then gets into us and then we die.
Not me, I don't eat fish.
Nope, stop eating fish.
I win.
Yeah, so as I said, they deteriorate, and that's usually by sun exposure and the waves and just all of the, like, being exposed to the elements.
Mm.
But it's not like it's degrading, maybe. But it isn't degrading, it's just getting kind of smaller.
Is that not what degrading is?
Well, in that it's not broken down
right
biologically in any way.
It's just in little pieces.
It's just smaller pieces.
Yeah. Right. And that's also like, we're advised, like, if you've left a bottle of water out in the sun, don't drink from it.
No.
Yeah.
No, no, yeah. As in, don't do that.
No, we're not advised.
No, we're not. No, don't do that.
Which means that we're doing that, like, all day, every day with these bottles that are in the sea, and then fish are drinking it, and then we're drinking the fish.
And you say that it's not just that, but also
drinking the fish.
But also other animals are just eating them.
You
know, obviously there's the old one, the sea turtles see plastic bags and think that's a nice looking jellyfish.
Nom.
And then die.
I don't think I've ever thought that's a nice looking jellyfish.
Yeah, but you don't eat jellyfish, do you?
That's true.
You wouldn't be a good vegan if you ate jellyfish.
Well, they don't have brains. I reckon that would be like, if you're gonna eat something, jellyfish is probably all right.
And snails.
Yeah, and it kind of
snails
bites
don't
back.
Have brains.
No, snail, no. But snails are still... I think snails...
Snails show emotion.
Oh, I stood on a slug the other day and I got so sad.
What the hell is this murder tale you are telling us? Go back to the oceans. Go and tell us about the oceans. No more killing animals.
These poor fish. Oh.
So the animal died from the plastic in the oceans. I don't know what to tell you. They're dying. Let's stop doing that.
Yeah, I agree.
Stop eating fish.
And just for reference, microplastics.
Michael Plastic. Michael
Michael Plastics.
Professor Michael
Hello,
Plastic.
Michael. Thank you for listening. Microplastics are about 0.05 to 0.5 centimeters.
What's even smaller? Is that nanoplastic?
They don't really measure it. I don't know.
Well, they should.
Look, the chart that I looked at online only went down to microplastics.
Atomic plastic.
You couldn't actually have an atom of plastic because it's a molecule.
It's a hydrocarbon.
It is. So let's start talking about Scooby.
Scooby-Doo.
I actually already have Scooby-Dooby-Doo written down as the title of the episode.
Now it can be, because we said it in the episode. Wow, Corey, look at you manifesting things into reality.
Scooby stands for Symbiotic Culture of Bacteria and Yeast, which doesn't sound as fun as Scooby.
No, it really doesn't.
Isn't that Scobay?
It could also be Scobay.
Scobay.
Oh, hello, Scobay.
Yeah, but Scobay doesn't sound...
Scooby.
So it lives up to the name. It's just a mixed culture of yeast and bacteria living together and feeding off the products that each other make, kind of in a symbiotic relationship,
like us and trees. Like we,
if you lived in a tree, then yes.
I've never been eaten by
a tree. I do live in a tree.
You don't. I've been to your house.
We live amongst trees. Like everything we have is made of wood, basically, or bricks.
It's a big tree.
Yeah,
right
okay,
there.
But the bacteria aren't chopping up the yeast to live in them.
Oh, yeah. little bacteria axes chopping up some yeast.
It's like a flat share.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So, a film of bacteria nanocellulose.
Sorry, you're going to have to say that again.
A film of bacteria nanocellulose.
A film of bacteria nanocellulose.
Can form on top of the culture. And that's also called a SCOBY. This is really confusing, by the way.
Yes.
So SCOBY is the name for the culture. Scurvy. And also the film that forms on top can be called a SCOBY. And also another thing I'm talking about later is also called a SCOBY.
What?
Philip SCOBY.
This is dreadful.
It is. I don't know who allowed this to happen.
So, let me recap. So, bacteria and yeast living together. A SCOBY.
Yes.
On top of those bacteria and yeast, there is a cellulose layer of film that is on top of it. That's yes. called a SCOBY.
Yes.
Something else we'll discuss is called a SCOBY.
There's three SCOBY.
There's three SCOBYs. Okay. Just like in Scooby-Doo. There's Scooby-Doo,
Scooby-Dum.
Scooby.
Scooby-Doo, Scrappy-Doo.
And Scooby-Dum, his cousin that never shows up.
Okay, carry on.
that's the process that's used to make kombucha, which is what I've been drinking this entire time.
I was wondering why you've been cradling the kombucha.
And I brought one for you guys as well.
Yay.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
One
to share.
I brought three, but we were supposed to record earlier and I've drank them.
Well, give us your one that you're currently drinking then. Terrible.
This
person.
Is mine. I'm just getting you try it. Jeez, I bought you drinks, Luke. You can't be like, one.
I've never had kombucha before. How is it?
It's weird.
It is strange.
You look genuinely disgusted.
No, I'm not disgusted.
Raspberry. With pomegranate?
No, pomegranate!
So is that kombucha, lightly sparkling cola? That tastes like the old cola bottles I used to have.
Oh, that's really good.
It is good.
Try the cola one.
So they've also got, there's also a ginger one that I've had as well.
I see, I like that one less.
Yeah, I don't know.
Is that made out of the film on top of the yeast and the bacteria?
No, so as far as I'm aware, it's essentially the same as kind of making beer or wine.
Right.
So they use it to ferment. They use the bacteria and yeast.
But it's SCOBY bacteria.
So it's not...
So SCOBY yeast.
It's not... So SCOBY is the name for the bacteria and the yeast together. So they use a SCOBY to make kombucha. You can actually do it yourself. You can get a kit online to...
Make your own kombucha.
To make your own.
Wow.
Can't do it.
No.
I kind of want to.
Well, I mean, it's...
Not enough to actually do it.
The thing is, it's one of those things that it seems like more of a pain than it's worth. You'd be just as well buying it because
it's like making wine.
You're almost certainly gonna get your culture contaminated because the people that are doing it at home don't know how to work with like bacteria and yeast. So it's like kind of a sparkling tea drink. They kind of break down tea leaves.
I didn't know it was sparkling.
It's just slightly sparkling, but it's naturally sparkling. So obviously, when yeast ferment stuff, they produce alcohol and carbon dioxide.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. But it's not very alcoholic, usually about, I think you can get up to like 14%.
Really? Oh my god.
Yeah. Do you guys know what yeast are?
Yeast?
Or is?
Yes.
Tell me about yeast.
I would guess that it is a form of fungus?
It is, which I should have known, but I didn't. For reference, I studied biotechnology for 3 years, which involves a lot of working with yeast, and I never considered, like, I never looked up to see what kind of order they were in?
Yeah, what kingdom it is.
What kingdom they were in.
Which kingdom are you from, yeast?
The kingdom of fungus. Yeah, so
it makes a lot of sense when you think about it. But it seems weird.
No, it does seem weird, doesn't it? So they're unicellular eukaryotic organisms. Do you guys know what...
What is... I was going to say, what does eukaryotic mean?
It's what you and I are. It essentially means you've got... There's no easy way to describe this. I'm just going to give you the full scientific answer. You need to have membrane-bound organelles inside of your cells in order to be eukaryotic.
Just like us, James.
Cool. Just like us.
Obviously,
so like,
now I understand.
Like mitochondria. So that's a...
The powerhouse of the cell.
Yes. So...
Is that the one thing you've learned from this podcast?
Yes.
Tumblr. So an organelle like mitochondria, it's just a little thing that does something in your body, in your cells, that's wrapped in a little membrane.
Okay.
Nice.
Like a little bacteria inside a bacteria.
That's what we think it is, actually.
Wow.
We genuinely think
Look
that...
Look at me discovering science on my own.
We genuinely think that chloroplasts in plants, that's what makes them make food from sunlight and water. And mitochondria, which is what gives us energy, those were originally a kind of symbiotic relationship between two cells.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah, because they've got their own... Mitochondria have got their own DNA. Their own kind of DNA.
Yeah. You get that from your mum.
From your mum, yeah. The species we usually talk about of yeast is Saccharomyces cerevisiae.
Is that a magic spell?
It's so difficult.
Abracadabra.
What's happening to me?
It makes beer.
Why am I turning into yeast?
shrinking to be very, very small. So that's the most familiar one to you guys. That's the one that you use generally to make beer and wines and bread.
I don't.
Bread. Well, no, not you. Not you personally.
Yes.
But one.
One.
Yes.
One bread maker.
And it's actually kind of originally thought to have been found on the skin of grapes. Yeah, you can. You get that. Ooh. You get like yeast on the skin of fruits, like plums and stuff. So do you know when you've got the white, kind of like waxy.
Is it the wax or is it the fluff?
It's not fluff. That's when it goes off.
That's if you leave it in the fridge.
I'm thinking of a peach.
So when dark fruits get kind of like white bits on them,
yes,
that's a lot of that is yeast.
Mm.
Yeah, and you can just leave them for a bit and they'll ferment and give you booze. It's nice that the world does that, isn't it?
Well, the world just gives you free alcohol.
Just gives you free alcohol, yeah.
Yeah.
Just gotta wait for my plums to ferment.
That's just one of the... That's really weird, because that's like... I like to think a lot about how, basically, the world we live in... I know we have a scientific explanation for it, but essentially the world we live in is surrounded by free air all the time. The sky rains free water. The ground makes free vegetables. We live in, like, this weird thing that just gives us free stuff all the time. Yeah. And one of those things is the earth, until apparently, just gives us free alcohol. I've now learned that.
Yeah, great. I mean, if you put them all in like a kind of pot, they'll probably make booze. Might not be safe to drink all the time, but
animals do. Like, there are birds that go and eat like fermenting fruit and get drunk and love it. They go crazy for it.
Yeah, because it just makes pure ethanol. Essentially, makes pure ethanol. So that's yeast.
That's yeast.
SCOBY has a yeast infection.
Oh my god, I need to breathe.
And now.
And now to SCOBY packaging, the third SCOBY that I was talking about.
Oh, yeah. Thank God.
Yeah. So, you guys have never heard of Rosa Janus, have
you?
No, she's Polish.
Is she a fun guy?
She's a person, James. Don't.
Woman.
You said the fun guy comes in at some point.
Fungi. Fungus. Like yeast.
Yeast is a fungus.
Oh my God.
You're an idiot.
We've been over this.
Is she a fun guy?
No.
No, we've
Stop
made
talking.
Rosa is a Polish farmer and industrial design student, although I doubt she has
10 apples.
I doubt she's a student
she
anymore.
Gives three of them to John. How many apples has she left?
John's a fun guy.
John is not a fun guy.
John is very boring.
He's collecting apples. He's not fun.
I'm just going to read a quote from Rosa while you guys spin your wheels. In her own words, she said she wanted to combine fabrication with cultivation, as she believed making and growing together can create regenerative processes and products.
Making and growing what? Yeast?
Just things.
Things?
Just stuff.
That's very broad, Rosa.
It's very broad, but essentially, to translate what she said into plain English, if you grow things rather than make them, like, you know, with chemical processes, then it's better.
Oh, absolutely. I agree. I was thinking the other day that I reckon we will end up in a place where we will grow a quantum computer in the way that our brains are quite likely to be based on quantum computing in some way, or in some way based on quantum processes. And so if we can work out how quantum works, you can make stuff a lot smaller if you grow it than if you make it, which is essentially what she's saying, really, isn't it?
It is similar to what she's saying.
That's exactly what she's
saying. Because if you grow something, you start from the smallest and make it bigger. Whereas if you make something, you start from really big and try and make small stuff, which is not as easy.
It's kind of like what we were talking about last week, how Alan Turing thought it's best to create a very simple mind and then teach it things rather than try and create a fully fledged mind.
And that's what they've done with machine learning.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks, Alan.
Good job. So as I understand it, she didn't initially set out to replace plastic packaging. She just wanted to make something.
Right. Is she still alive?
No, this was recently.
Okay, then she didn't. Oh, so, okay, right.
No,
right.
So she didn't want to find... It's not that she didn't set out to find a replacement for plastic packaging. She just kind of wanted to do something and then realized that, this is the best thing to do.
Great.
So essentially what she did was she got a kind of kombucha kit, a SCOBY kit, and made the initial material. And she was like, what can I do with this? What's the most pressing problem? She thought it was plastic packaging. And she decided to tackle that.
Nice.
Is this in some way using the film that SCOBY makes on top of it?
Exactly.
Is she using that to make some kind of plastic alternative?
Yeah, exactly. So she, initially, she got the kit, she added the tea and the sugar, and she made the film. And she then spoke to some scientists to try and figure out how to make it better. So after a few goes at it, she's now able to make the material using sugar and agricultural waste.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's pretty much self-sustaining.
How thick is this film? Is it thick enough to, like, stick together and make and package stuff?
It's quite thin. I don't know. I don't have an exact.
So it might be. Is it like thick enough in its natural state, or is it like you have to create layers of it in order for it to be strong enough to be used by us?
So essentially, what it is, it's kind of like a gloop.
Yeah.
When it's initially made, and then she dries it out. So you can use multiple. It depends what you're using it for.
Yeah.
But ultimately, for most things, they kind of hold their own structure. You just need to keep it away from the air.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although it looks quite quite disgusting.
Can we see a picture?
Yeah, I'll show you a picture.
We'll put it up on the Twitter or something so you can go have a look.
So how does she make it exactly?
She gets this. Let me try and summarize, see if I understand. She gets the SCOBY bacteria and yeast, and she lets it make the film, the second SCOBY, right? The second SCOBY.
Yes,
those SCOBYs make the SCOBY film on top of them. And then she gets that film, and she dries it out, and she makes the product SCOBY, which is her form of plastic, like her new thing for packaging. Am I right? Is that right? Cool.
Yeah.
Ah.
Wow. So this is what it looks like. It kind of looks like dried skin.
No. Why don't we just use
skin? That
looks
a bit like dead skin.
We could use
skin.
Like, why don't we just get...
Whose skin?
My skin?
I don't think you have enough skin, Luke.
Oh.
I'm sorry. I know you wanted to use it, but we can't. And also, this is entirely edible. I haven't mentioned this yet.
So is my skin?
I don't want to eat your skin.
No, thank you. I'd rather eat scum.
You'd rather eat goop from the ocean made by yeast and bacteria.
Yes.
It's not from the ocean. It's from. She makes it in vats. Very long, very thin vat. This is why it's so good. Because it's very, very easy to make.
Yeah.
And it's quite efficient.
Like corn.
That was my next question. Yes. I was like, how easy is this to produce?
Very easy. She's essentially got the idea that you can decentralize the production of this. So, as I'm sure you understand, plastic is made generally in quite big factories.
So you could
factories.
Grow it in a supermarket.
Or better yet, you could go to a farm. You could grow it there because it doesn't need sunlight. It just needs to be kept at room temperature for about 2 weeks, and it's ready. Really thin vat. Yeah. And ultimately, if that's the case, then you can kind of layer them as well.
And that would make food last longer because it could be processed at the farm and instantly wrapped up.
Exactly. So you don't need to, and it also cuts down on CO2 emissions because you don't need to have so much transport costs.
Yeah, because there's some stuff with like our food where it's like grown in one part of the world, flown out to Jamaica, like apples are flown out to Jamaica to be waxed and packaged and then flown back to the UK, and they're grown in the UK to begin with. And that's just so stupid.
What?
It is ridiculous. And this is really, really good packaging.
And then it's edible, so you can eat it.
Yeah, no, you can eat it or you can compost
plastic waste.
It.
Wow.
So
biodegradable.
It's biodegradable, exactly.
Brilliant.
So it is really, really good as a packaging.
It's literally a solution for everything.
Yeah, for so many reasons. So it's got a low pH, which helps food from going off.
Being acidic.
Yeah, and it's got some antibacterial properties as well, supposedly. And you can use the original SCOBY to make more.
Why are we using this everywhere?
Well, because you'd have to take down the entirety of the plastic industry.
Is it ready, though? Is it like, if someone wanted to do this, is it ready today?
It's not fully scaled up. She's speaking to what she's doing now is she's speaking to companies to try and figure out how to get this rolled out. I don't think it's, I'm going to be honest, I don't think it's something that's going to really happen anytime soon. I think it's a good idea, and if it's as good as how she says it is, then it would.
Because the thing is like, it might be brilliant, but actually, if it requires, for example, quite a lot of energy to make, then it's just making a different issue. It's making global warming to solve the plastic problem. Like,
however, I mean, ultimately,
it has to be more efficient than the refining of oil.
Well, yeah. It's quite efficient. The issue with most of these kind of processes, in terms of, and this is exactly what I did my degree on, in terms of scaling up and rolling it out everywhere, it can be a lot of money to start off with. And improving the process to being better than chemical or artificial processes is quite difficult because you're working with living organisms that can mutate and just die for seemingly no reason and be like destroyed by like mixing them too hard. It's called shear stress, and it's actually a thing. Mixing things too hard can kill
stress.
Them. genuinely.
I think I'm going to die from shear stress.
Yeah, you can die from sheer. That's like being killed by being hit by waves.
Ah,
yeah. You mean like literally torn apart? But yeah, that'd be the main issue, scaling it up to that level. However, the interesting part is that if you were to say be like a small farmer's market stall, or wanted to transport your fruit from like a small farm to anywhere or anything like that, you could use this. because it's not that much of an upfront cost. And it is, it's just really simple to, it's really simple to set up and do. It's made with waste. So it's not like you need to put energy into it. It's energy that's already come from somewhere else.
When you say it's made from waste, is it like waste as in like plastic products, or is it waste as in like waste food?
So waste food product, as when it agricultural waste, as in
poo
made from leftovers.
Not necessarily that, but like parts that we wouldn't use anyway.
Oh, okay. Like
so like
bits of animal or
let's say corn husk. So it's probably from plant material. It's not going to be from animal material,
right?
Yeah,
brilliant.
It's really good.
I think that's great.
It's a really good idea.
And this everywhere.
So when you said there are three SCOBYs,
yeah, that's the third.
They're
SCOBY.
Actually kind of one SCOBY. Like they're all one process. They're all part of the same thing.
Yes,
it's just we call them all SCOBY.
Yeah, they refer to different. They refer to different
kind use
of
cases.
Different parts of different parts of the process or different. They're used in different kind of semantic ways. Yeah.
Yeah.
Another good thing about like I said, it is edible, but it might actually be healthy for you.
Wow.
Because it's got bacteria in it, and apparently that bacteria is good bacteria for your gut.
Wow.
So eating it can
eat your SCOBY or there's no dessert.
What's for dessert?
It's SCOBY.
More SCOBY.
But mother, we had SCOBY for dinner and breakfast.
SCOBY, it's good for your gut.
So it can also be used, and this is something that's really cool as well, because obviously people use plastic packaging for just fruit, which has its own natural packaging. But obviously that's for people that might be disabled or unable to like peel an orange, let's say. But this is a brilliant solution to that, because it's just a bit of film. Just
eat the packet. That's so cool.
You can eat the packet.
You have to wash it though, but yeah, you could eat it.
Yeah.
I do think that there's something to be said that plastic, while obviously dreadful, it does get a bit of a bad
rap.
Because I may be making this entirely up. Some big supermarket put out a statement being like, yes, obviously plastic is dreadful, but it is required because the amount of food waste you'd have if you didn't use plastic would be just astronomical. And so I'm not at all saying we shouldn't be doing this and putting so much money into it, but in the actual here and now, it is kind of necessary in order that our production and supply chain can continue to exist.
Yes and no on that. Like, yes, there would be a mass amount of food waste, but the thing is, saying that we need plastic is almost the wrong mindset. We need packaging.
It's that our current system is designed around plastic, and replacing that's going to take time.
Exactly.
So obviously, reduce your plastic all the time. Don't buy stuff in plastic if you can. But like the actual like the kind of shouting at the government or shouting at companies like, why are you using plastic? It's like, well, we kind of have to right now. Like, we're trying.
Yeah, but they say that as a defense. But then also, the plastic packaging isn't stopping my bananas from going off, because it's got holes in. You know, the thing is with bananas, this is really interesting. They kind of send out a chemical that makes fruit go off quicker.
Oh, that's all fruit.
Yeah, but bananas in particular are really bad for it, supposedly.
What? That's
yeah, so
mad.
You shouldn't store. You shouldn't store your bananas next to other fruit, because they will make them go off quicker.
Wow. Or make them ripen quicker.
But yeah, ripen quicker, but
then go bad quicker.
Yeah.
Right. I'm gonna segregate my bananas into their own cupboard. They will be alone, and it's their fault for being so pesky.
Exactly.
They don't play well with others.
They make all the other children old and wrinkly. Imagine if you put your child with a child, and then that child made your child go wrinkly
just
and old.
Just be a bad influence,
and
isn't
rot
it?
Away.
Yeah,
I'm
so
decaying.
That is the story of SCOBY.
That's the story of SCOBY.
Well done, Rosa. Very good.
Thank you, Rosa, for SCOBY.
Good job. It also does have other uses. So I went to their website. You can buy a sample. I didn't, because...
But we had kombucha, so
because I didn't know how long it was going to take to arrive, and I didn't plan this episode early enough. Yeah, but you can go and buy it. It is totally possible, and it is possible to make your own.
Does the SCOBY come packaged inside more SCOBY?
I don't really know. It's just a forever SCOBY. It's like
more and more
turtles all the way down. Yeah,
SCOBY parcel
all the way down. So they're also making trans leather, which is not what it sounds like. It's actually vegan leather. Just Google SCOBY.
So they're trying to make vegan leather out of SCOBY.
How do you spell SCOBY?
S-C-O-B-Y. Symbiotic culture of bacteria and yeast, James.
Just in case anyone forgot.
They're trying to make vegan... Yeah, they are trying to make vegan leather out of it.
And so you could eat your clothes?
You wouldn't want to.
But you could.
You can eat your clothes now.
You'd get arrested.
That's true. You can eat leather.
But don't eat leather.
You could eat leather.
You can eat cotton. And it's also used to make, as I said, kombucha. SCOBY.
Yum.
Yeah, so lots of good uses.
Go SCOBY.
Go SCOBY.
Go SCOBY.
Yeah, so we the reason invest. I decided to talk about...
We should invest.
In SCOBY.
In SCOBY.
I think we're in a bit late. The reason I decided to talk about this story today was because I thought it was kind of at the core of what I want this podcast to be, in a little bit of a way.
Yeah.
As in, Rosa isn't a scientist. She was just a student, like a design student, an agriculture student. And she just decided to do this, and it worked out. So you can do it as well. You don't need to be a scientist.
It's a lot of pressure.
Go on, Rosa.
Yeah, Luke. Solve the plastic problem.
I'm going to go invent SCOBY.
You got 10 minutes. Do it.
Use less plastic. Eat less fish. The end.
Yeah. Is that good? Is that the show?
Is that an episode?
That's an episode.
You're meant to tell us whether it's the show or not.
Well, I don't know. I thought you guys might have something to say.
No.
Not today.
No thoughts. No thoughts on the past hour of recording.
No.
My thoughts. Sounds delicious. I want to try it.
You're talking about the leather?
No, the SCOBY. Not the leather, the SCOBY.
Thanks for listening. You can find the full references for this episode in the description. Subscribe for new episodes every Monday, and why not leave us a nice wee review?
Wee review.
Find and contact us at SciGuysPod on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, or SciGuysPod@gmail.com. You can follow me at NotCorey everywhere.
You can follow me at Jamkin everywhere.
You can follow me at Luke Cutforth everywhere.
I might do that.
Nah.
You already do.
I hope I don't.
Goodbye.
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 Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.